It's good to be here, isn't it?
Yes,
I sure appreciate the Lord and His help, and y'all just have to pray for me this morning. I got two things on my heart, and if I got time, I'm gonna give you both. If I don't, I won't. But Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20, this is more just a devotion, I guess, so to speak. But I do want to get back to 1 John as soon as we can, but the Lord just dealt with my heart over some things here in this little passage, and I've been reading, and just want to try to help you with it. Seems like, as has already been said, there's lots of people with troubles, and those troubles are real problems.
Sure.
And so we're gonna start reading right here in Numbers 20, verse number 1. The Bible says, Then came the children of Israel even to the whole congregation into the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And so I'll stop right there for just a second. And I want you to notice that the setting here where we're at, if you're familiar with your Bible, Moses has went down to Egypt. He's brought out the children of Israel. And they've already come out, crossed the Red Sea. They've seen all these miracles. God's already done a lot of things. But they come to this place right here, and you notice the setting that we have. He says, then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into what? The desert.
Yep.
The desert of Zin.
Yep.
Now, if you're familiar with what the desert is in the Bible, that word means wilderness. Yes, that means a place that's apart, it's separated. Boy, they start looking around, there's just nothing. There's nothing. It's emptiness, it's loneliness. And it's just not a good place to be. It's a wilderness. It's forsaken. And man, I don't know if you've ever been in a place of desert in your life, but I have.
Yeah.
Where even though I'm around people, even though I'm around the church, even though I'm around my family, I still feel like I'm in a desert sometimes.
Sure.
And I don't know about you, but it's easy to get that way if you're not careful. When you start, you forget about it. You forget about everything that God's already done. And you start focusing on where you're at right in the moment.
Yep.
And Brother Creston, these people were really, physically, in a desert. That's where it's at. If you look up, and I looked it up online, I had to see what this place looks like. It's not a place that you want to be. It looks like a desert. That's exactly right. No good.
Right.
Not a place to be. And, you know, they've already got bad news. That generation's going to die in the wilderness because they sent out spies. They came back, didn't believe God. And all these people are not going to see the promised land. And man, it's just a bad place to be.
Yeah.
Right here for a lot of these people. And so they're in a desert place. But not only that, you notice the last line of that first verse, it says, and Miriam died there and was buried there. So now it's not just a place of desert, it's a place of death, Brother Kim.
Yeah.
And if you know anything about these people, Miriam was a special lady to these people. She was the sister to Aaron and Moses.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible calls her a prophetess.
Right.
And she was a special lady to these people. And she's just died. So now we're not only in a desert place, but we're in a place of death. But then we come down to verse number 2. And he says, and there was no water for the congregation.
Sure.
So now it's dry.
Yep.
Not only are they in a desert, they're in a wilderness by themselves, people's dying. But Brother Doug, it's dry. There's no water. And I've faced some times in my life when I felt like I had no water.
Right.
Now if you're a Christian, he said if we've got him, we've got the fountain, we'll never thirst.
Right.
He's on the inside. But that does not change the fact that sometimes I forget. And I get thirsty.
Tell it, brother.
And I get to wanting the Lord. And I get to wanting help.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes I don't even know where to turn. And I don't know why I get that way. but sometimes it's just dry. And you look around, and I mean, it was just, I don't know, maybe a couple months ago, it just seemed like there was death on every hand. Now, I'm talking about physical death. People physically dying around us. And sometimes it's dry. And sometimes it's a desert. And sometimes it's all three. And that's just the reality of life.
Oh, yes.
The reality of life. And the problem is, it's not that we're in those places because Job was in those places. It's how we deal with those things that becomes the problem. And so I want you to notice man's reaction to the problem here as we come to verse number 2. It says, "And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and Aaron." So we see the first thing they did was they congregated. You had a bunch of miserable people, and instead of going where they should have gone for help, they come together as a group of miserable people. And what happens when you take one miserable person and you put another miserable person with them, and those two come together to congregate? Man, they just feed off each other, Jesse. And it gets more miserable and more miserable and more miserable. And it's not a good place. And it's misery is what it is. And so that's what happens here. They congregate against Moses and Aaron. Well, who had come down to deliver them? Moses and Aaron. Moses and Aaron had risked their lives. You understand that, right? They had physically given their lives to rescue these people out of bondage.
Yes, brother.
But who are they battling? They've congregated against Moses and Aaron.
That's right.
You see what happens when we react wrong to our circumstances, our situations? We turn ourselves against the people who are the ones that are for us. So see, you may have problems in your life, and you come to church and you hear Kevin preach and tell you the answer. And you may think, well, he's just picking on me.
Yep, sure.
You may get mad at him.
Yep.
You may get mad at me.
Right.
Say, they're just meddling. Well, I don't know nothing about you, honestly.
Right.
I'm not on Facebook. I'm not on nothing. I don't know nothing about anybody. That's honest.
Right.
What I know is what somebody tells me. And that's very little because I don't talk to many people, just to be honest with you. But, folks, if we're not careful, when we have problems in our lives, we start searching for other people with problems. And we want to bounce our problems off of their problems. And then before long, their problems become my problems. My problems become their problems. And we both got problems. And the people that we don't like, we just start liking worse and worse and worse. And it just gets bad.
Bullseye.
It's a bad place to be.
Yep.
And so that's the reality of how we are.
Yep.
We trap ourselves. We put ourselves in a place we don't need to be.
Yes.
And we get to talking, don't we? We start running our mouths.
Yep.
Every one of us.
You're right.
We run our mouths. See, that thing's a fiery member. It's dangerous, and we start congregating and talking about our problems. I'm not saying we shouldn't talk about them, but you better be talking to them to the right people.
Right.
I mean, I don't need to be sharing my problems with a sinner down the road who knows nothing about God that can't help me.
Right.
You know who they should have come to? They should have come to the Lord.
Right.
They should have brought their problem and presented it to Aaron and Moses in the right way and said, "The Lord's provided for us in the past. And we know we're in this place again. And we know He can do it again.
Amen.
You fellas help us pray about it." Would that not have been a totally different conversation, a different scenario? Would that not have been right?
Yeah.
It would have been right. But instead, they congregated, started talking. So they congregated. But then it goes on. It says in verse number 3, "And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt?" Oh my. Are these not the same people that were down in Egypt crying for the bondage that they were in? They forgot about it. He says, "And wherefore have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It is no place. It is no place of seed or of figs or of vines or of pomegranates. Well, they start looking around and say, man, we're in the wilderness. There's nothing around. And they say, neither is there any water to drink. And so they chode, it says, with Moses. So they've congregated against him. Now they're chiding with him. You know what that means? That means physically. Now, I understand it's figurative language. But if you look at word up, it means to grapple, to wrestle.
Yep.
They were wrestling with Moses. Now, if I was going to wrestle with somebody, it wouldn't be Moses.
Right.
But they got it in their mind that Moses and Aaron were their enemy. And they thought, we're going to wrestle with this guy. Now, I understand that's probably not physically. Could have been. I don't know. But they were wrestling with him with their words, with their actions, with their attitudes. Folks, don't wrestle with a man of God
right. That's
trying to help you.
Amen.
These preachers, they're not against us.
Amen. I guarantee you. I guarantee that.
We have one enemy.
Right.
Our adversary, the devil.
Yes.
Right. Now, he comes at us with all kinds of different darts, all kinds of wiles, all those things. He's our enemy.
Right.
Kevin is not our enemy.
Right.
And don't think he is. Hey, I mean, I don't know. I've been knowing him for about, how long you been here?
10 years.
10 years? I've been knowing him about 10 years. Now, I've got to know him a lot better over the last 8. But folks, he's out to help us. We don't need to be chided. We don't need to wrestle with him. So don't go to Kevin and complain. You got issues? He's not asked me to say none of this, I promise. But he's not the one we're to complain to. If we've got problems, we come to him and we bring them to him and we say, brother, I've got this issue and I need your help. And I know you're interested in loving on me and helping me. And you better believe he'll pray and he'll help you. And he'll take his scripture and show you what's right. But don't come fuss at him. That's not why he's here. He's here to preach. He's here to lead, guide this flock. And boy, it made it awful hard on Moses and Aaron when the people they were trying to lead and feed started being against them. We ain't got time for that. This is not the place for that. Don't be chiding. So don't be grappling. Don't be wrestling with the man of God. But then, I mean, also it just goes on and they complain. They're just complaining. You ever get in a place in your life, you're looking around, you got all these problems, and instead of calling on the Lord, you start complaining about it? Man, we say there's you hear it. I mean, they start listing it, right? They go down through there. You've made us come up out of Egypt. You bring us unto this evil place. It's no place of seed, figs. There's no vines. There's no pomegranates. There's no water. They say everything around us, it's bad. David, why didn't they look back and say, but you brought us out of Egypt. And it was real bad there.
Yeah, brother.
Out of their mind. They already forgot it.
Right,
but this is our natural. Don't look at the children of Israel and think, man, they're bad people. They're just like us. They're just like us. That's what they are. They're flesh just like you and I. Don't hold it against them. And we'll read here in a little bit, if the Lord lets us get there, of why we need to pay close attention to this. But that's man's reaction. We're going to move on. But here's the proper reaction. We see in verse number 6, it says, and Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly. You notice what happened? There's a difference in what the congregation did, what Moses and Aaron did. It says they went from the presence. So there was a congregation there that was complaining. Moses and Aaron knew if we're going to get any help from the Lord, we can't stay right here in this place. We can't stay right here amongst all these complainers, amongst all these naysayers, amongst all the problem. I can't stay here. So if you're out there in the world and you're having problems today, and you feel this way, you feel like you're in a desert, you're dry, you're in a place of death, don't stay there. Don't stay there amongst all them people. You don't have to. There's help to be had, but you can't stay there. If you want to get help, you got to get out of that. Get away. If you're in a place, and I mean, it don't matter if it's where you work, if it's where you play, it don't matter. If that's the place where you're congregating and becoming miserable, get out.
Yep.
It's not worth it.
Get away from it. Come apart. There's a time to come apart as a Christian. I've always heard that my old pastor, he used to say, if you don't ever come apart, you will come apart. There has to be a time you separate yourselves from the problem. And we learn this from Moses and Aaron. It says, and Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly. But you notice, anytime you're leaving somewhere, you're going toward something. It says, they left the presence of this under the door. It says, and they came into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. So you know what happens? They flee from the people that were the problem, and they run to the person with the solution. You see, that tabernacle of congregation represented the presence of God. They said, God has been here. We know He will meet with us here. See, don't stay where you're at. Get to a place where you know God is. And get there. And say, Lord, I need You to meet me here. And so that's what they did. So they separated from the complainers. But thankfully, they didn't just stop there. They situated themselves toward God. So we notice their position is at the tabernacle. That's where they came to. They got in a good position to meet with God. But then if you keep reading, you notice their posture. Their posture, man, it changed. It got right. It says, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. They got it right. They separated and they situated in the right place. They fixed their position and their posture in a way they knew they could get a hold of God. And so once you separate from all that mess, and you situate yourselves toward God, you find yourself in a good position to supplicate.
Yeah.
You can start reaching God then.
Yeah.
See, if Moses and Aaron would have stayed where they were at and not got out of that, do you think their minds and their hearts could have ever got a hold of God? No. You find yourself in that kind of predicament. You've got to get out.
Right.
But it didn't take God long to answer when they got in the right place to get an answer. Sometimes we just got to separate, we got to situate, and then it's easy to supplicate at that point. Easy. And they began to call on God. And God helped them. It says, they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses. What about that? He just immediately starts talking to him, saying, he says, take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother. So notice it says the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. So this is God's response. When they got separated and situated and started supplicating, they got positioned right and their posture was right, all those things, they got an answer. That's God's response. They got an answer. He appeared. The Bible says He appeared. His glory appeared and gave them an answer. And this is always God's answer. He says, and speak ye unto the rock. Guess what the answer always is? It's always the rock.
That's right.
It's always Christ. It's real simple. This thing is not complicated. God is always going to point you to the rock.
Yes.
Where do I go? I go to the rock. Folks, that's the answer. Nathaniel, I mean, that's the problem. People got problems. Your mother-in-law's got problems. You know what she needs? She needs the rock. That rock is Christ. That's who it is. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's His response. Says, take the rod, verse 8, take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth unto them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts to drink. See, Jesus was the answer. And it says in Moses, but here's something that we don't want to quit right there. It says in verse number 9, it says, Moses took the rod from before the Lord as He commanded him. It's looking good so far. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock?
Yeah, brother.
Boy, it starts getting a little sketchy right there. And when I read it, my heart starts getting a little nervous because I know what's about to happen. They had the answer. Speak to the rock.
That's all it took. It says, and Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod, what did he do? He smote the rock twice. He smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly. God still answered the problem. But man, because they didn't listen to God, it caused another one.
Yes.
And the congregation drank, and their beasts also. See, that's what the congregation was looking for. But verse 12 says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. What a sad day. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. And man, we see such a beautiful picture, how these people had a problem. We saw how they reacted to it. We even saw Moses and Aaron in their proper reaction to the problem. But even after they had the proper reaction, they heard the answer of the Lord. What's our responsibility once we hear from the Lord?
Oh, yeah, brother.
You see, we can't just stop at hearing.
Right. Yep.
That's where we stop a lot of times. Yep. We hear the answer, Mary, we know the answer. But then we just stop.
Yeah, brother. True.
And we say, well, that sounds good. Boy, it felt good to get a hold of God today. But then God's saying that whole time, we use that verse all the time, to obey better than sacrifice, right? To hearken better than the fat of rams or something like that. God wants our obedience. But Moses, a man of God, there's no question, special man. He chose not to heed to what God said. And because of that, he didn't get to go into the promised land. Just in an instance, he lost what he already had.
Right, brother.
I mean, folks, what a sad situation. But, and you say, well, that seems awful harsh.
Oh,
well, I understand. And to you and I mean, if you put yourself in Moses' shoes, look, Kevin, Moses has already been in this boat before. He'd already called on God for water, and God told him, said, smite the rock. And that was the right thing to do at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that this rock is a picture
That's
of God's
right.
Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll read that in just a second. But what happened was Moses messed up God's picture of his Son.
Yep.
And see, that's what happens in our lives, is when we get out of God's Word and out of His will, and we start doing the things that we're not supposed to do, and we don't heed to the word that he's given us, we're messing up our picture of his Son
right.
to this world. And God takes that seriously.
Oh, yeah.
You see, he esteems his name above. It's just, there's nothing more esteemed in the eyes of God than his Son.
Right.
And when we refuse to heed to what he's told us, we're making a mockery of it.
That's right.
And we're saying we really don't believe who you really are.
That's, right.
That's essentially what we're saying. Now we can sugarcoat it, and we can say, well, it was my flesh, and we like to say it was the devil. But the reality is it's us.
Right.
And here's what we really are. We're a bunch of people that's full of idolatry.
Oh, yes.
And we idolize ourselves more than God. And you say, well, that's harsh. Well, that's what God says. And that's just where we're at a lot of times.
Sure.
But, see, Christ was only supposed to be smitten once. Moses chose to smite him again.
Yeah, brother.
And you say, well, where do you get that from? Well, Romans 6, 9, and 10 says, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more.
Right.
Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins,
yep.
The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit.
Yeah.
You see, this picture of the rock was meant, Brother Creston, to be a picture of us and Christ. And how that the people of God the first time they look unto the death of Christ to get what they needed, to feel that thirst. And then in their spiritual walk with God through the wilderness, through the place where they're trying to get to that promised land, that land of victory in their lives, they have to look back to that rock. But they didn't have to smite it again. It was already smitten. At that point, all you got to do is speak to Him. He's the intercessor that ever liveth to make intercession for us. And that's all we got to do, Creston, is come to Him and speak to Him.
Amen.
That's the picture here. But they messed up the picture. They messed up the picture, and God takes that seriously. So it's very important that we obey. And, man, you go through Hebrews. I'll read you a couple more of these. This is how important it was to God. He mentioned it over and over. Hebrews chapter 7, I've got all these written down, verse 26 and 27. It says, "For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered himself." Goes on in chapter number 9, verse 12. Just flip over there if you want to with me. Chapter 9, verse 12, it says, "Neither by the blood of blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." You get the picture? It only took once for him to die. One time. Everything he did, he had to do it that one time. He did it eternally. We weren't supposed to smite him again. Messed up the picture because they refused to listen to the Word of God. In your marriage, you refuse to listen to God's Word on how you do your marriage. How you husbands love your wives, and this is for me too. How you wives treat your husbands.
Yep.
When you mess that up, you're messing up the picture that God has made for the church and Christ.
Isn't that true?
It's the Word of God.
Yep. True.
And so when you get out of your place, folks, you're messing it up and you wonder why God's blessing's not on us. It's because we're messing up the picture of His Son. God wants His Son to be exalted.
Yep.
You see, if we can lift up His Son, everything will be fine. But we got all this other stuff. We're chiding, we're congregating, we're complaining. That's not uplifting to His Son.
Wow.
And you say, well, how does all this really apply to us today? Well, Paul said it did. Paul said it did over in the book of 1 Corinthians.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians chapter 10.
Yep.
Look with me there. Read this with me.
Good stuff.
1 Corinthians chapter number 10. In verse 1, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea." In other words, they were identified with the work that Moses did. "And did all eat that same spiritual meat and did all drink that same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." You see the picture? "But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." Boy, that sounds familiar. "Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer." Verse 11, "Now all these things happened unto them for examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." It's for us, is what he's saying. Those things were written for you and I.
Right, brother.
You and I. He says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth
Take heed lest he fall. In other words, you're no better than they are. You could fall just like they fell. It says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. You see, they were in a place they could have got help, and they didn't have to fall into sin. That's what he's saying. He made a way for them to escape that sin that they did. But they refused the word of God, Brother Creston. And then it is no strange thing to me that the next verse says, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry.
Yes.
It's not a coincidence. That's our problem. It's idolatry. We think more of what we want than what God wants and what God says. That's the problem. That's the whole problem. We care more about what we want than what God wants. And apparently I'm out of time. But I appreciate the Lord. And I hope that just reinforces some things in your mind. When God speaks and when He answers, then do what He says. And it'll be good. Don't find your place in a place of congregation, that place of chiding, that place of complaint. Always make sure that you get yourself in the right position, the right posture. Put yourself in the right place. Get yourself situated, separated, all those things, so that you can get a hold of God. Get that answer, and then do it. Do it. See, that's the hard part sometimes, is just doing it. God's not made it complicated, though. He's made it easy. He's laid it out for us. Appreciate everybody's good attention this morning, and we'll have prayer for anybody that would like to pray down the hallway there.